Title: Out of Bedlam. Author: Busaiko. Rating: R. Warnings: Reference to madness, repression, abuse, character death. Summary: Non-magic Victorian AU, based on a picture by Karasu Hime. A series of 100-word drabbles. Severus is in Bethlehem Royal Hospital. Remus is a doctor. Victorian beta, handholder, and chaperone to the stars is the Senjo. 1. He woke and breathed in the light that danced over everything in his world. He was drunk on things that shone and gleamed. All radiance filled him with awe and joy. He woke up again, this time in a long white room whose fluttering draperies made fascinating patterns. He traced the wind-blown edges of bright and shadow. He did not remember how he had burnt his hands so badly. Perhaps he had been playing with fire. This room had no lamps or candles, but it had the sun. While he stood in the light, he was free. It was enough. 2. He had to be taught to answer to Severus Snape. He had forgotten it was his name. He had forgotten many names and things, or perhaps it was simply that their significance paled in the light. He learnt to dress himself in his nightshirt. It was all that he had. He was in the ward, watching the morning light crawl up the wall, when he first met Dr. Lupin. The doctor's hair was gold and silver in the sun. Severus said so, and the man laughed and shook his hand. Severus remembered, being clever and respected, a long time ago. 3. Dr. Lupin was kind. He brought Severus pieces of the world, chestnuts, wild poppies, a prism that made rainbows dance, and once a book. Severus read a few pages to Dr. Lupin, who asked him what it was. Plato, Severus said, and shut the book on the shadows. Your accent's dreadful. Dr. Lupin pressed a polished piece of metal into his hands to keep him from ripping the scars open again. Severus caught the sun on the mirror and finally breathed. Dr. Lupin combed the tangles from Severus's hair. Severus studied his own face, reluctantly, but it was a stranger's. 4. Dr. Lupin visited every day. Severus combed his own hair now and tried to have something to give back, a word or a memory or a clever rhyme. He hoarded smiles and laughter against the dark of the nights on the ward. Then Dr. Lupin didn't come. 2, 3, 4 days. Severus didn't sleep. He watched the sun creep through the yellow sky. On the 5th day, Dr. Lupin appeared in the doorway. Severus stared up through unkempt hair, wanting to yell, wanting to cry. "I am sorry, Mr. Snape," he said. "You look ill," Severus said, alarmed that the light in Dr. Lupin's face had faded. "You have been ill," he amended, and then offered, "I am ill." "We are a pair, aren't we?" Dr. Lupin said. "I am only occasionally incapacitated by my illness, however. I am sorry I distressed you." "I didn't know," Severus said, and Dr. Lupin's smile flickered on like a gas lamp. "I'll tell you a secret," he said. "If you get good enough at pretending that you're well, no one will ever need to know that you're ill." Dr. Lupin set a paper-wrapped parcel on the bed. Severus opened it and took out a shirt and trousers that were surely the doctor's own, worn but clean. They smelled of the doctor and sunlight. "Will you try?" Dr. Lupin asked. "For me." "Why am I here?" Severus asked. "Who are you? Who," he said, his voice threatening to waver out of control, "am I?" Dr. Lupin freed one of his hands from the knot it was making of the shirt. "I am your friend, and I promise to tell you. But first, let's get you out of Bedlam, shall we?" Which is how Severus learned where he was, and that he must therefore be insane. 5. "I finished my research here," Dr. Lupin said, his hands entwined tightly. London's taking its toll on me. I need to go home to the country and work on my manuscript." Severus picked at the cuffs of his shirt and paced from window to wall. He was trying to pretend that he was well, but the sun on the wall was a siren call. "Mr. Snape." Dr. Lupin's hand was on his shoulder. Severus grabbed his wrist like an anchor. "Will you come with me? I find myself in need of a companion." "Yes," Severus said. "I'll go with you." 6. "Sit and look humble," Dr. Lupin said. "Speak when spoken to." The doctor was wearing his spectacles and a ghastly woolen wrap against the cold. He had been taken ill again. The other men who came in listened as Dr. Lupin talked. He had a pin on his wrap, tipped with a silver ball that winked and flashed as he moved. Words like harmless, practically cured, and childlike washed over Severus. He felt that he was neither humble nor harmless, and neither were most children. As the men exited the ward, Dr. Lupin looked back at him and grinned wickedly. 7. The house was near the sea. The air tasted of salt. There was nothing, Severus thought, more beautiful than the sun on the waves. He walked to the shore every day, often accompanied by Dr. Lupin, whom he called Remus now. A woman came once a week. Severus was surprised that Remus could cook and clean. "Do I know how to cook?" he asked one day, watching Remus knead dough. Remus laughed. "I doubt it," he said, and Severus felt a pain that must have shown on his face. Remus tilted his head. "Come here if you want to learn." 8. Remus told Severus about the lightning-struck tower, the boy he had saved, and the man he had let die. "Dumbledore," Severus said, a name from the darkness. "He was our teacher," Remus answered. "Harsh, but he taught us love and loyalty." "If I get better," Severus said, "I won't be happy anymore. I never was before." "If you could be well and happy," Remus started, but Severus shook his head. "I couldn't. I'm not a good man," he said. "I have done awful things." It took Remus 4 days after that to bring Severus back from the all-concealing light. 9. Severus thought a rat must have got into the bath. Instead, he found Remus, unable even to keep his head above the water. Severus carried him to bed and watched until Remus woke. "Oh, damn," Remus said, looking miserable and ashamed. "I'm sorry." Severus smiled, mocking. "You hold a madman's opinion so high." "Yes," Remus said, "I do." "Who hurt you?" Severus was mad. He needn't mince words. Remus's body bore terrible scars. "My family. To cure the fits." "I don't believe God makes mistakes," Remus said, apropos of nothing. "Good," Severus said, and kissed him chastely on the mouth. 10. "You never married," Severus said. "Why not?" "I was almost engaged," Remus said, his cheeks flushed with the alcohol, "to my friend's cousin. But her parents didn't want an invalid." "Did you love her?" Severus asked, tasting the iron tang of jealousy. "She reminded me of my friend." "You love him?" Remus set his glass down. "He had been dear to me, though separated many years and thought dead. He is dead now." Remus sighed. "Do you recall if you ever married?" "No," Severus said, and then realized that was inadequate. "I have been alone all my life, until now." 11. "Are you scared?" Severus asked. "I'd be lying if I said no, but I'm curious." "Scientific curiosity, of course," Severus said, leaning over to kiss Remus. "Are you aroused at all?" "Yes," Remus said. Severus was glad for Remus's sense of humor. "I'm surprised you remember this." It's the closest to the light you can come without being mad, Severus said. Much later, Remus trembled, cried out. Severus held him. Is that what the light feels like to you? Remus asked. No wonder you didn't want to be cured. This is better, Severus said. The light never loved me back. 12. Odd men, Mrs. Weasley thought the doctor and his companion. The vicar enjoyed a scholar's company. Apparently, the doctor was famous for his work with unfortunates. No one said so, but she knew Mr. Snape was one, supposedly cured. She could see it in his eyes. After illness finally claimed Dr. Lupin, Mrs. Weasley was not surprised when a week later Mr. Snape's body washed up on the shore. They had been a queer pair, she told the vicar, as they cleaned out the little house. He had paused sorting papers, and bade her speak no ill of the dead.